Tonight's shiur in Parshas Re'eh. The Tana de Eliyahu relates, Poseach b'shivcho shel makom, begins with the praising of Hashem, and says, Baruch hamakom baruchu, shemakir barosh ma shiyeh besof. Hashem knows in the beginning what's going to be in the end. U'magid mireishi sacharis, and says in the beginning what's going to be in the future. Mikedem asher naseh, before it happens. V'yodeya ma shenaseh, ma shatid le'asot. He knows what it was done, what is going to be done. And finally, it says, V'tzofe le'tova, ve'eino tzofe l'ra'ah. And it sees, Hashem sees for the good and doesn't see for the bad, literally. What does that mean? So Yisrael Salanter explains that based on the beginning, first pasuk in this week's sedra. Rei anochi nosein lifnechem ayom bracha uklala. Okay, Shem says you should see I'm placing before you bracha and klala. Then it says es habracha asher tishmeu el mitzvos Hashem Elokeichem. The bracha asher tishmeu when you listen and do the mitzvahs. And by the klala it says vaklala though im lo tishmeu. So Mefarshim are bothered. Why by the bracha does it say asher tishmeu? Whereas by the klalach says, im lo tishmu. So he says, you see from here that when it comes to bracha, Hashem sends the bracha before you even do the mitzvah. He already sends the bracha, assuming that you'll do it. Asher tishmu. Es bracha, asher tishmu. Here's the bracha. You'll, it's about Hashem, you'll do it. You'll do the mitzvah. I'm giving you the bracha ahead of time. I'm giving you the wherewithal. Whereas by the klala, no, Hashem doesn't say, here, I'm giving you the onesh and see what happens. No, there's only im lo tishmu, if you don't listen. Then you get the klala. With the bracha, you get it beforehand. So Mela, that's, he says, the idea in the Midrash, that Hashem is sofe l'tova, but not l'ra'ah. When it comes to good, he gives beforehand, but not when it comes to evil. The second part of the Tana de Eliyahu needs explanation. Continuing the praise of Hashem, it says that Hashem is Ashir v'Sameach b'Chelko. Very strange. Once Rav Chaim Mivolozhin, he asks the obvious question. Fine, a human being, you can say who is Ashir, someone who's Sameach b'Chelko, meaning that there are things he would like, he needs, or whatever. But he says, no, I'm just happy with what I have, right? Because he'd like those things, but he can't have them. He says, fine, I'll just be happy with what I have. But how can we say such a meter when it comes to Kadosh Baruch Hu? He's happy with what he has. He has everything. Anything he wants, he can have. He can create. He doesn't have this, he can create it. There's no limitations by Kadosh Baruch Hu. So what's this concept Shem is happy with his chelek? Sameach b'chalko. So he was so bothered by that, he went to his Rebbe, the Gaon Mivilna, and asked him, what's shot in the Medrash? So the Gaon answered, he says, what's pshat, Hashem is Sameach b'chelko? What does chelko mean? Chelko means the Jewish people. As it says in the Pasuk, ki chelek Hashem amo. That his nation, the Jewish people, is his chelek. So when it says that Hashem is Sameach b'chelko, means he's happy with his people, with the Jewish people. Meaning what? That it's true, we said, Hashem can have anything he wants, create anything he wants, it's all his. Except there's one exception. There's one thing Hashem can't do. He tied his own hands, kviyachol. What is that? Yerushamayim. It says, Akol bidei shamayim chutz mi Yerushamayim. When it comes to Yerushamayim, that's up to us. Hashem leaves it in our hands. He doesn't give us Yerushamayim, that's totally up to us. So that's something which he would very much like that we have Yerushamayim, whatever. But he can't create it. It's up to us. So there's the godless of Hashem. He's chameach b'chalko, meaning that even when his Jewish people are not holding on such a high level, so he could be upset with us, and he says, "No, I'm sameach." Can be a chol sameach with my Jewish people, even though they might not be so ay. He's sameach b'chelko. That's his God. Listen, why is that the case? Because he's like our father. And just like a father, okay, he'd like his son to do this and be that or whatever, but if he's not, he still loves him. So too, Hashem is happy with us, even though He would really like us to be better, but He's happy with us even the way we are. And with this, he says it ties in with what we said before. That's why, since He's like our Father, that's why He gives us the bracha beforehand. A father doesn't necessarily wait till a son does this or doesn't do. He gives a son. He's happy with, here, son, here, take this, take that. He's happy with him, right? That's the bracha asher tishmu. Whereas punishment, that's only if the person does bad. But for good, since He is our Father and we are His sons, He gives us even beforehand. Have a seder, the pasuk virishtem osav ishaftem ba, and this is the pasuk which tells us of the mitzvah of Yishuv Eretz Yisrael. And according to the Ramban, it's a mamasha mitzvah sasi deraisa, living in Eretz Yisrael. And not only that, it's more than just a regular mitzvah sase. It's a mitzvah sase, says the Sifri in this week's Sedra. It's shakula keneged kol mitzvah shabbatorah, Yishuv Eretz Yisrael. It's as weighty as all the mitzvahs in the Torah. And they learn it from the Sedra, the pasuk v'yishtem osav v'shaftem ba, u'shmartem lasos et kol mitzvah. So you should settle the land and keep the mitzvah, meaning that the all of the kol ha-mitzvahs, it says, kol ha-mitzvahzot, that living near Israel is shkula k'neged kol ha-mitzvahs. Now, he says, when you think about it, it's unbelievable. Because when do you make kindness mitzvah? When you're living near Israel. So, it's something which is ongoing, constant. So every moment, another mitzvah. It's an unbelievable thing. He says, "Ashreichem Yisrael, Eretz Yisrael." Happy those people living in Eretz Yisrael. That every moment, another mitzvah. Sase deraisa. It's an incredible thing. He recalls that once Rav Elia Lapian Zatzal, he was once walking in the street, and he sees these Jewish workers working in it was in the middle of the summer, very hot, and they were schwitzing away, and they were digging, and they were in the ground, digging, making a tunnel, like a tunnel for a sewage pipe, putting down a sewage pipe. And he saw how they were working so hard, and it was a sewage pipe, so that, you know, the sewage can go leave the city or whatever. So he looked at him, he says, you know, again, like Ashreichem Yisrael. He says, look how many mitzvahs these Jewish workers are mekayim. He says, first of all, they're working, they're getting paid for this, is a parnasa. So they're osig in the parnasa, which is a mitzvah. Secondly, they're doing the mitzvah chesed, because the people living here, it's very nice to have sewage. It's such a great bracha to have sewage pipes. So they're doing a tremendous chesed for the town. And above all, he says, they're osik and actively in the mitzvah of Yishuv Eretz Yisrael. So he says, so all this is very nice, but it's only lacking one thing. And what is that? He says, kavana. Meaning, alavai that these workers should have kavana, but if they're not, it's chaval. They're missing the kavana in the mitzvah. So we know the halacha is, and it's brought down in Shulchan Aruch, or Chaim Simen Samach, that mitzvah srichas kavana, that you have to have kavana when you do a mitzvah. And why? Because the Ramban says that the kavana is kolam mitzvah shenamin belokeinu v'node elav shu baranu. The whole purpose of all the mitzvahs, why do we have all these mitzvahs? That we should recognize, since who gave them to us? HaKadosh Baruch Hu. To recognize HaKadosh Baruch Hu, that's the purpose of all the mitzvahs. So if you do the mitzvahs without recognizing HaKadosh Baruch Hu, you're missing the point. He brings Maisa Shahaya. There was a delegation of five Bedouins that from down south, that they came to take a little tour of Tel Aviv, which was the first Jewish city, and they went around checking it out, and then they ended up in the office of the mayor and of the time, who was that? Mayor Dizengoff. That's not, he was the mayor Dizengoff. Meir Dizengoff. And fine, so he met with them, whatever, very nice. And when they wanted to leave, he said, you know, can I give you something? I'd like to give you a little present or whatever, something you saw in my city that you would like. So the Bedouin said, yeah, as a matter of fact, you know, we come from down south. He says, one thing that's very lacking over there is water. You know, we need water for, you know, feed our animals or whatever, take for our needs, and it's very hard to come by, you know, water in our, where we live. And he says, and they said, you know, we notice that you go over to the sink, you turn on the tap, and plenty of water. So we could you please give us some taps? So no problem. He gave them each a tap to take with them back down south. Of course, it's ridiculous. You know, a tap is very nice, but if it's not attached to the water source, a lot of good a tap's going to do. And Mela, he says, so too, when it comes to the mitzvahs. The mitzvahs are very nice, but if they're not attached to the source, to HaKadosh Baruch Hu, you're missing the point. So he says, very good, you know, we do the mitzvahs, but we just have in mind, we're doing at least L'Shem Hashem, and then we're attaching ourselves to the source, and then it creates, it makes the mitzvah to a real mitzvah. And to help us out a little bit, he brings the halacha that kol ose al das rishona hu ose. It's a Gemara in Shabbos, and that's halacha brought down in Shulchan Aruch Yoredei Reishayin Dalet. That if a person would like to begin to write a sefer Torah, so it has to be done lishma. So if before he begins, he says sefer ze ani kotev l'shem kedusha sefer Torah, I am writing the sefer l'shem kedusha. Then, since he said it to begin with, it's good, he's good to go for the whole writing of the whole Sefer Torah. It takes him years, and of course interruptions and this and that, whatever. But since it's all based on Das Rishona, if Das Rishona, he had in mind, it's the same Kedusha Sefer Torah, it counts for the whole Sefer Torah. So Meili says, very nice. So let's have in mind that we are living in Eretz Yisrael, L'shem Mitzvahs Yishu Eretz Yisrael. And we say it now, and it's good for the rest of our lives here. But we connect it in, and now every moment we have a mitzvah, it's a mitzvah connected to the source, which has a tremendous value. Okay, we have the mitzvah of, or avera of eating blood. Pasuk says, Rach chazak levilti achol hadam. Should be strong, make sure you don't eat blood. Ki adam hu anefesh. Lo tochal ha-nefesh im ha-basar. You can't eat the nefesh, in other words, the dumb with the meat. Lo tochlenu al-arat tishpachenu kamayim, to throw it on the ground. Lo tochlenu l'man titav lach, l'vanecha charecha, ki saseh yashar b'inei Hashem. Alright, it's the pasuk. So Rashi says something which needs explanation. He says that we are being warned over here not to eat blood, and the lashon is rak chazak li-vilti achol adam. So Rashi says, so here's something that most people are not very interested in, eating dam. And it says that you have to be mitchazek still, mitchazek not to eat dam. So if something which is not so hard to stay away from, it's the Torah telling us we have to mitchazek, have to be strong to stay away from it. All the more so, mitzvahs which are veras, which are not so easy to stay away from, all the more so how much it needs chizuk. Kol b'chomer to other mitzvahs that they need chizuk. That's what Rashi says. Question is obvious. He says, so why is it though that we need chizik for not eating blood if we're not interested in eating blood anyways? So he says, oh, blood, you have to mechazik yourself, so, which is easy, so sure enough, the others you have to mechazik. But why do we have to mechazik yourself for eating blood? Why does the Torah say, mechazik yourself not to eat blood when it's not something we're not interested in doing anyways? And not only that, he says, the lashon rak chazak. What's mean rak? Only. What's rak over here? So there's a sefer Ksav Kabbalah. He deals a lot with the language and using the Torah and lashon Kodesh. And he says when we have the word rak, it's from the lashon of rake, empty. In other words, if you have something and you empty it out and you just zero in on one particular thing, that's when you use the lashon rak. For example, he gives a few examples. Let's say, "Rak ein yiras Elokim b'makom hazeh." Avraham Avinu said that there's no yiras Elokim. He says, "Rak," and he could have said, "There's an ein yiras Elokim." But he says, "Rak down there. There's no yiras. Not that there's basically not yiras. No, there's no yiras Elokim at all. It's empty. Nothing. Not nothing at all. Just So he says, so here we have rak chazak libilti means, it means like a lot of chizuk. Rak only this and nothing, only chizuk and more chizuk. That's what's necessary here, not to eat dam. Not to eat dam? Why do we eat so much chizuk? So he answers, this is a basic yesod in Yiddishkeit, and Sif Sefer Chaim brings it down, that it's all because of the Yetzer Hara. Meaning, it's something that normally we're not interested in, but since it's a mitzvah, in other words, an avera, to eat them, all of a sudden, since it comes as aser for us to do, so now all of a sudden we have a desire to do it. Why? Because the Yetzer Hara. That's the job of the Yetzer Hara. Whenever there's a mitzvah or an avera, comes the Yetzer Hara and wants to say, no, don't do the mitzvah, do the avera. There's no mitzvah there. He says, all right, just do what you want. I don't care. My job is to stop you from doing mitzvahs and to make you do averas. So since there is a mitzvah not to eat dam, you're going to make you want to eat dam now. That's the job of the Yetzer. So Mela, that's why we need chizuk. Because whenever there's a mitzvah, we have the Yetzer Hara that wants to make us not do the mitzvah, do the avera. So we need a lot of chizuk. That's what Chazal tell us. Shegadol haMitzuvah veYosa, meYishena Mitzuvah Yosa. That's exactly the word the Tosa says over there. The Gemara in Kedushin Daf Lamed Aleph. Why is it greater somebody does a mitzvah that's commanded, not that somebody's not commanded? One would think that maybe the opposite is true. Look, I'm doing a mitzvah. I'm doing it out of my own free. You know, nobody's commanding me. I'm doing it anyways. That's a great thing. Okay, you have to do it, but I'm doing it out of my own free will. Isn't that greater? So Chazal say no. It's greater. The one that's doing it is commanded. Why? It says Tosus, because the one that has a commandment, with the commandment comes the Yetzer Hara not to do it. So he has to fight that Yetzer Hara. It's very difficult. If he does it anyways, he gets more schar, and somebody that's it's not commanded, he does the mitzvah business. It's not hard for him to do the mitzvah. Why? Because no Yetzer Hara. Brings a nice pshat from the Chozemi Lublin on the Gemara and Shabbos, Daf Yud Amud Aleph. The Gemara talks about there about davening mincha. You're not supposed to eat before you daven mincha. And it says, however, if you already started the suda and then samach lemincha, and you already started the suda, so then you can already finish the suda and daven afterwards. So the Gemara says, what is called starting the suda? The Gemara says, if one loosens his belt, you know, you loosen your belt because you know you're going to eat a lot, you know, fill up. So you loosen your belt, and then he starts. And once you loosen your belt, so then it's already considered, okay, you started the suda, you know, you can finish your suda already before you dub it. So the Gemara says, loosening your belt, why can't you just do up your belt, you know? So the Gemara said, no, we don't want to matriach you to do up your belt. You don't have to matriach to do up your belt again, and therefore you can continue your suda. So the Gemara has two questions. The Gemara says, first of all, since when is it a tircha to do up your belt? It's a big deal. How long does it take to do up your belt? And secondly, why do you have to even do up your belt bechlal? Just daven mincha. We don't have a triach. You don't do up your belt and daven, so you can just eat. So no, you can do both. Just leave your belt off, whatever, and daven that way. So two questions, right? Why? Well, what's the big tircha? And secondly, just daven like that. So the Gemara answers and says, because it says in the pasuk, and Amos he kon likras elokecha Yisrael, prepare yourself towards your God. In other words, before you daven, you have to, you know, look like a mensch. You have to prepare yourself for davening. So the Chozemi Lublin asks, that's very nice, but l'chor, we only answered the second question with that. Second question is, well, why can't we just daven without the belt? So that, fine, we answered, because you have to, you know, look like a mensch. You have to put on your belt. But we never answered the first question, which was, what's the big tirchan putting on your belt? So Chozemi Lublin answers based on this yesod. He says, Avadai, putting on your belt is no big deal, no tircha, unless it's a mitzvah. So once it says, Hikon likras elokecha, it's a mitzvah to get ready for davening, so now it becomes a tircha to put on your belt. So therefore, that's why the Gemara says that, it's a tircha. Why? For the same reason that we can't leave the belt off. We have to prepare ourselves to davening, meaning it's a mitzvah to prepare, so now all of a sudden, putting your belt becomes a tircha as well. Rav Chaim Kanievsky Shlita, he's very forthcoming when it comes to an invitation to be a sandek, which was a minig of his father, also the stipler. Whenever somebody asked him to be a sandek at a bris, he would run for the opportunity. So once someone invited Rav Chaim to come to Netanya and it was Hoshana Rabbah, the Brizon Hoshana Rabbah in Netanya, and Shtickle Derech from Bnei Brak. So he wasn't so quick to say yes. He said he has to look into it, whether he can take this Sundakaus. So what was his Shaila? Shaila was as follows, that he was nohag to learn all night, Leil Hoshana Rabbah. So he says, Hoshana Rabbah is still Sukkos, right? So he's learning all night, and then he would daven b'sikin, and so, and then, you know, have a bite to eat, whatever, Sukkah. However, he says, if I'm going to end up going to the bris, here I am, up all night, and have a, you know, fine daven b'sikin, have a bite to eat, and then I'm off to Netanya. He says, I'm liable to doze off in the car, because, you know, being up all night. And so he said, he wasn't sure, he has a Shiloh, whether it's okay if he dozes off, because it's Sukkah, so you're not supposed to sleep outside the Sukkah, even Shenas Arai. So it's a problem. But the other hand, maybe not. It says, Teshu Kein Kedur, and since it's a normal thing to doze off in the car, as long as you're not driving, it's normal to do. So maybe that's considered a part of the normal thing, whatever, and therefore it would be okay. Wasn't sure. So he decided to go to his father-in-law, Rabbi Yashiv, and ask him what's the psak. So he told him his shaila, but he added, and he said to Rabbi Yashiv, that if you'll matir me to doze off in the car, so that'll have an advantage. Why? Because then I probably won't doze off. Why? As we said, because when does the Yetzer Hara come in? When it's a mitzvah. So if you're going to tell me it's usher to doze off in the cars, then the sleep's going to come over me, and I'm probably not going to be able to handle it. I'm going to probably end up sleeping in the car. But if you tell me that it's okay to doze off in the cars, then I'll have an advantage. I probably won't even doze off. That's all out. Yetzer Hara says, go ahead, I don't care. You're allowed. And I probably won't even doze off. You find the same thing by the on Yom Kippur, right? The Ishiti takes the seer to the Azalzel to throw off the cliff. So the Gemara tells us that they have little booths along the way as he's going out into the desert. It's hot, and it's Yom Kippur, he's fasting, and these booths are along the way, and there the people, somebody in each booth calling out to him, says, here, come, you want to eat and come drink, you're hungry, thirsty, we have food for you, you know, if it's your pikuach nefesh, you know, it's hot, whatever. But the Gemara says, never did he ever go and eat one of these things. Why? Because he's allowed to. Right, if he'll be not allowed to eat, and then, oh, I gotta eat, I can't do it. But now, since the halacha is, he's allowed to eat, because he's walking in the desert, whatever, and they're offering him the food, please. So it never happened that they ate. Why? Even though he's already eaten anymore. Why? Because he's allowed to. And they say the same for it with the Eishes Yifas Toar. And it says the man goes to war, he's allowed to take the captive woman and marry her, whatever. And the Lashon of Chazal is that Torah was Matir, the Eishes Yifas Torah. It was Lo Shelo Yitira Torah, Eishes Yifas Torah, Ela Keneged Yetzer Hara. So the simple shot is, everybody says, what does it mean it's Keneged the Yetzer Hara? The Torah allowed Keneged Yetzer Hara. It's such a strong Yetzer Hara, so you're probably not going to listen anyway. So it says, okay, just do it, because if I'm not going to let you do it, you're going to do it anyway. That's a simple shot. But according to what we're saying, we say, no, it's the opposite. The Torah knew that if it's going to be Aser for you, you're going to have a Yetzer Hara, and you're going to want to take her anyways. So the Torah said, here, know what we're going to do? It's Mutter. Hey, you want to take her? Yeah, take her. Oh, I can take her? Who wants her? Right, no Yetzer Hara anymore. Now, once it's the reason why the Torah was Matir Yetzer Hara is Keneged the Yetzer Hara. Meaning, so you shouldn't have to have a Yetzer Hara. Because if it would be Aser, you'd have a Yetzer Hara. Now it's Mutzah, you don't have a Yetzer Hara anymore. With that, he says, let's also explain the Chazal tell us in the Sukkah, Nun Beis, that Gadol, Shekol HaGadol Mechaveiro, Yitzra Gadol Mimenu. The greater the person, the greater the Yetzer Hara. Why? Because the greater the person, the more Isser there is. Everything to him is a very serious Isser, and he's very Machmir and everything. So Mele, so the stronger the Isser, the stronger the Yetzer Hara. Less a person that's less, you know, chazak, not so strong. So the Yetzer Hara is not so strong either. Stronger the mitzvah, the stronger the Yetzer Hara. Okay, so that's discusses the pashup shot. He brings now a drasha in this pasuk as well. Megabri the dam, and al pidrush from the Sifsei Kohen, who's a Talmud of the Ari HaKadosh. And he darshans like this. The pasuk says, "Rak hadam lo sachelu." So dam could refer to damim, which is like mani or sachar. And therefore, the drash is a person should be careful that the dam, a person's schar, lo tochelu. In other words, don't eat your schar for your mitzvahs in this world. Save your schar for your mitzvahs in the next world. Don't eat up your schar in this world. Now, that needs a little bit of explanation. The Sifsei Kohen himself says that Chazal mentioned that schar mitzvah b'hayal maleika. L'maisa, in this world, you can't. There is no reward for mitzvahs in this world. He explains why. He says because you know, a mitzvah is so great, no matter how you give the entire world to a person, is not shaveh, doesn't equal even one mitzvah. So you can't. It can't be schar mitzvah in this world because what are you going to give a person? That's a mitzvah is eternity. There's nothing you can give in this world that can be a reward for a mitzvah. So the question is asked, if that's the case, we see in the end of Parshas Veschanan, the Torah tells us over there that Hashem pays the Rishayim in this world and gives them schar for their mitzvahs, so that they have nothing left in the next world. They come empty-handed in the next world. He gives them their reward in this world. So they ask, that's not fair. We just got through saying that no matter what you can give, it can never pay for a mitzvah in this world. And so, okay, so the Rishayim, they did mitzvahs here and there. And what are we doing? Well, we're paying them in this world. And all of a sudden, what do you mean we're paying them? You can't pay for mitzvahs in this world. Yeah, we're going to have mitzvahs. Rav Shach said that's part of their punishment. Because it's such a rush. You're right, normally you shouldn't be able to. But says Rav Shach, but that's all built into their punishment. You're such a rasha, we're going to pay you something which you can't do, or we're going to do it anyways as a punishment. Oh yeah, it's possible, Pshach. The Chafetz Chaim says a little different. First, he says he brings a mashal. He says there is a fellow that was a dealer with diamond dealer, and he died. And he left a little kid, Yasum. And one day the kid has a taiva, they have some candies. So he wants to go to the candy store. So he's looking around, he wants some money, he can't find anything. So he sees a diamond. So in his father's safe or whatever, so he takes the diamond and he goes to the candy store. He takes some candies, he goes up to the guy, the owner of the store, and he goes, "Hey, I like to have the candies, here's a diamond." So he goes, "A diamond? Maybe a diamond?" He goes, "Put back the candies, kid." He says, "Why? Well, why?" He says, "Why? Is that's not enough?" He goes, "Well, enough. Is lo dome, you're giving me something worth $1 million. I can't give you change. I mean, it's forget it. It's two different things." So he said, that is the mashal of when it comes to mitzvahs, right? And you schar mitzvah b'hayam aleika. What you did something worth a diamond, and you're going to get paying. You're taking candies. How many candies can I give you to pay for a diamond? I can't give you enough. So mainly that's why schar mitzvah b'hayam aleika. However, there also he brings in an interesting mice over here that from Rabbi Eliezer Shulvitz. He's a Talmud of Yisrael Salanter. He once came to the Chafetz Chaim and he said to him, "Rabbi, I have yeshiva with 400 bachurim and there's no food. And we need food, and I'm going crazy. I don't know where am I going to get food from." And so Chafetz Chaim says, "Yeah, I know. So you're coming with 400 bachurim. Everybody's coming to me with these problems. I don't know what am I going to do?" So he says, no, Rebbe, I have a solution. I just want you to maybe help me out with it." He says, "Well, you have a solution? Well, Baruch Hashem, what's the thing?" He says, "Well, it says that schar mitzvah mel malika, right? Why? Because we said, what are you going to possibly give? Nothing you can give in this world equals a mitzvah, right?" He says, "Correct." He says, "So I have a great idea. I thought I had a great idea." He says, "What's that?" He said, "Fine. So saying I'm Amen Shehi Shmei Rabba, right, is a mitzvah? Yeah. His word is more than anything in the world. Okay, so I'll cash in one of my Yehi Shmei Rabbas. I mean, I've said quite a few, and I've done all kinds of mitzvahs. I teach Torah, I'm a Rosh Hashiva. I've, Baruch Hashem, a lot of one mitzvah I'll trade in. Definitely is it worth enough to get bread for the yeshiva, no? The whole world is not, it's not enough. So at least some bread for the yeshiva. I want to trade in it." So Chafetz Chaim says to him, okay, fine, you want to do that, so, you know, daven to Hashem. And he said, no, I tried that and it didn't work. So I thought, you know, you have connections. I want you to, you know, daven for me that, you know, that they'll trade in for, you know, Maheshmei Rava for me for some bread for me. Yeshiva, you can help me out over here. She said, no, Chas V'Shalom. He says, why, Rebbe? What do you mean, Chas V'Shalom, you want to help me? No, no, I don't want to create any enemies. What do you mean, enemy? He says, I don't want to become your enemy. He says, you're going to become your enemy? Why would you become your enemy? I want... Chavis says, let me explain to you something. He says, what's going to happen? He says, after 120 years, you're going to go to Shemayim, right? They're going to take you into this big palace that you've earned from all your mitzvahs that you've done. They're going to take you on a little tiul and say, here, this is this room, that room, whatever. And they're going to come to another door, and there's this room, and then you're going to want to open it, and you won't be able to open the door. And you're going to say, oh, what's wrong? How come this door doesn't open? I want to see. It's another nice room here. So they're going to say, well, you traded it in. He says, what? Yeah, you once said, I said, you didn't trade in one of your Heshmei Rabbas for, well, this was the door for your Heshmei Rabba, and you traded in, so you can't have it. She says, what? Oh, come on, that's not fair. So he said, wait a minute, I don't remember doing that. So he says, yeah, okay, well, it wasn't, you know, they're going to tell you it wasn't you exactly, but you went to the Chafetz Chaim, and he davened for him because he asked for it, so then we gave it to you. And you're going to be so bitter, and you're upset, what? How could I have done that? I traded in, you know, for this beautiful room for some bread. Ah, why did I come to Chafetz Chaim? Why did Chafetz Chaim do this? And you're going to be angry at me. Why do I don't want to create enemies? So he said, in other words, we don't realize that they think, you know, I'll trade in. But no, when we get to the next world, we'll see what it means to what one mitzvah is. Anyways, back to the mashal, the Chafetz Chaim. So he wants to say, so how's it shayach again that for Russia that, you know, we can give him reward in this mid world? There's nothing we can give that's worth that much. So he says, well, we'll adjust the mashal a little bit. Before we give the mashal, the little kid doesn't understand anything. He comes with a diamond. But imagine if he says, you have here a guy, he's not a little kid. He's already a grown man, but he's a drunkard, right? And he's addicted to alcohol. He's got to have his whiskey. So he's going crazy. And he has a diamond. So what does he do? He goes to the store and he goes, here, give me a bottle of whiskey. He says, okay, that'll be $50. He goes, here, I have a diamond. It's worth, you know, $10,000. He goes, diamond? What am I going to do with the diamond? I can't give you change. Forget the change. Say, I don't care. Just give me the booze, right? So in other words, he's willing to mevater on it. Just give me the gashmias. Give me the booze. So he mainly says, that's what Russia. The Russia's, he's trading in the mitzvahs worth the whole world. But he doesn't care. He says, just give me my desires in this world. I don't care. I think the mitzvah's worth millions of dollars. I don't care. I just want what my desires are. Mela, so a person could be paid in this world, and therefore that's what the pasuk is telling us when it says that rak hadam lo sochelu, don't eat the reward for your mitzvahs in this world. We should also be zoiche to be tzaddikim and realize the value of all our mitzvahs. Make sure we don't trade them in, save them all for the ultimate time of the olam haba, and we should be zoiche. Kulanu, Lirat, the coming of Mashiach, Tzidkenu, Bimher, Bimeinu.